The human being, there are two conditions that are with a human being. Either he is healthy, in good health and fit, or in comparison to that, opposite to that person is weak, is sick, ill. So these are the two types of conditions that a person can be in. The person who is healthy and strong and fit, and the person who is ill, unwell, there's a difference we can see from those signs through which we can recognize what state they're in. For example, if somebody is powerful and strong, then the signs we will see apparent, we'll look at that person and say he's powerful, he's strong, he's healthy, he's fit. And the signs are there through which we can consider a person is strong and fit. That he will eat food and he will digest the food and he will sleep completely, he will sleep with ease and there's nothing to worry about. And in work he's very alert and he'll run around and do things, complete actions, and all his organs and his eyes, his nose, the parts of his body work perfectly. So when you see all these signs in a person, when they're present in a person, then we'll say that this person is fit and alert and strong. And in comparison to this, if the person doesn't have these qualities, then obviously we'll say he is unwell, he is weak, maybe he's sick, he cannot work. So you see through the signs of a person, apparently, is this person healthy and well, or is he unwell or sick? These are examples, aren't they? You understand what I'm saying? So the human being is got these two opposite conditions, and this is the hal, the condition of the body. So the ruh, the soul of a person, also has this situation. The ruh is the genuine thing we need to look at. The body is just the external cover. But the ruh is the real thing that we should be worried about, the soul. And it also has this situation, the ruh, the soul can be sick and it can also be healthy, mashallah. Both conditions you can find, just like the body can be fit and strong or weak, then in reality the soul, the ruh, within also has this situation. So what's the sign of a ruh that is sick, or is it healthy and fit and strong? The sign should be there so that we can identify. And there are signs to determine how our ruh, our soul is. The ruh that is strong, the soul, the inner soul, the spirit that is strong, which is what we really need to be concerned about. Our ruh will give us success. The body will not give us success. Eternal says the body starts to go down anyway, a certain part of life. Certain time in life, the body starts to go downhill. So it's the ruh that should be strong. Shouldn't we know the signs of a strong soul so that we know, is it healthy or is it sick? So when we know we're sick, we run straight away to the doctor. Oh, I'm feeling weak, I'm getting dizzy. Oh, I'm feeling weird. And little small things we keep looking at, and the signs on our body. We straight away we make an appointment, run here, go to this person, to the Hakim. We are so worried about the state of our body. But the thing in reality, have we thought about the real thing that we should be concerned about? But this gathering is really about this. It's not about speeches that we come here for. We are here to awaken ourselves, to make ourselves alert. So this is how you should say it. Myself, I think myself in deep detail that what should we talk about today? What should we speak about? And Allah Ta'ala instills that into my mind, then I share that with you. So a person should improve. Don't come here to waste time, sit around. There are many speeches everywhere, morning till evening, you'll find speeches and conferences and with the fadl of Allah. But this is not the case here. We come here with fikr, come with a concern, take that concern and practice on that concern. So today we've got this point. in the beginning. That just like we worry about our bodies, physically we want to be healthy, are we strong, are we fit, or are we sick? Same way the ruh, the soul, you should be concerned. Is my ruh, is it alert, is it awake, is it sick, is it unwell? If you have not thought about it today, think. Has anyone thought all day today about my ruh? Is it healthy? Just like the cold and the flu, we know about the body. Oh, if this is not happening, then my body is sick. If my food is not being digested, then my ruh, my soul is, my body is unwell. It's not working properly, the stomach. Yes? So what's the sign of the ruh, the soul? Because as I said, the ruh, our spirit inside, that's what will give us success ongoing. So we don't even think about our ruh. We don't care about our ruh. We don't think what the signs of a healthy ruh. Do you know what the signs of a healthy ruh are? What's the signs of a strong soul and what's the sign of a weak soul? If you don't know the signs, then how will you determine whether your soul is good or bad? Strong or weak? Yeah? Simple question, isn't it? Yeah? So, there are various signs that Allah Ta'ala has given in the Quran. These are verses of the Quran. This is from the hadith that I'm sharing with you. It's not something I made up myself. These are all meanings and translations of the Quran and the hadith that I'm sharing with you. So it's not such a point that Allah Ta'ala has not guided us about the ruh, the soul. In the whole Quran, if Allah Ta'ala won't tell us about the reality of the ruh, Allah hasn't spoken about the body and its well-being as much as Allah has spoken about the ruh, the soul of a person. So Allah has explained the signs of a healthy soul. If we learn today with the fadl of Allah, then everything will become easy for us, isn't it, in life? That if my ruh, my soul is sick, if I wander around with this ruh which is sick, I'll be like a monkey. Like an animal walking around the world. But when I realize that my ruh is sick, what will I do? Just like when our body is sick, what do? We run to the GP, to the general practitioner. You don't go to the hospital. Where do you go? To the GP. When you're sick, your body is sick. Same way when your ruh, your soul is sick, you know, don't go to the hospital, then run to the GP for the solution. And they'll say there's no GP for the soul. Why not? We know about the GP for the body. He's a good doctor. He's a good physician. He's closer to the house. So don't you know? We're not concerned with the akhirah. We don't have a care for the akhirah. Just like we have the concern for the body with the dunya, just like the body is attached to the dunya, the ruh is attached to the hereafter. So just like we don't care about the hereafter, then our ruh will go to waste. Otherwise we'd have a GP, a practitioner. The first thing you should have is the doctor for your ruh, for your soul. A person who doesn't have a GP, then how will he cure and treat his ruh, his soul, tell me? Am I right or am I wrong? So those who've enrolled and enlisted with a GP, then they arrive to the GP, Hazrat, my teacher, I'm in a bad way, then fine, he'll say, start monitoring your tazkiyah sheets. Yeah? Start recording the results in your sheets. Then at least you say, Alhamdulillah, I have a GP who's looking after me, but we don't care. We don't care about our ruh. My ruh will be sneezing. Maybe there's corona, there's a virus or disease in my soul, but we have no GP. I'm trying to explain to you deen in an easy way. Yes, I don't go straight to Bukhari Sharif, because you'll get confused. So I try to give easy examples, because in this gathering, we have all sorts of people that come. That, for example, if I am useless, then I'll start with those who are useless, so they understand. So does everyone understand my simple examples I'm giving? Very simple explanation, isn't it? Yeah. So what we need to see here is that there are signs of the ruh that is sick or well, so that we can follow the path of godliness. So what are the signs of a ruh, if it's in a good state or in a bad state? First step. The first sign to determine if your ruh, your soul is healthy or unwell, because we are concerned about the akhir. We are concerned about paradise, etc. So look, see, when you're sick, where do you take your body? When you're physically sick, here's the point coming now. Ajib. Unique. So where will your body go if you're unwell? You will die. And where will the body go? To the earth. So where does the body drag you? Towards the earth. Very good point. This is, where does your body drag you? Towards the earth. Eat, drink, enjoy yourself, do what you want in the world towards temporary gain. Yes? Make a house here, enjoy yourself here. Because the body drags you to success in the dunya. And where does the ruh take you? Say loudly, to the heavens. So, when you are concerned about the ruh will take you higher to the heavens. When you love the ruh, when you make your ruh, your soul strong, just like the body drags you to the earth, the ruh, the soul will drag you to the heavens, to the skies. So you'll only go to the skies and the heavens when your ruh is strong. So what's the sign? So just like the sign for the body, it drags you to the world, and all the signs on the body, you have a flu, a cold, or a fever, you're dizzy, these all related to the world. So the ruh, the soul, is concerned with the heavens, with paradise, with levels in paradise. So the signs of the good ruh is related to Jannah and paradise. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Is it easy to understand what I'm saying? Okay, so don't look in the world, on the dunya, for the ruh, the signs of a healthy ruh. Because the body is related to the dunya, and the sickness of the body, the doctor, the GP, will be in the world. The physical, the physician of the body, related to the dunya, and the ruh, because it's related to the akhirah and the hereafter and Jannah and the heavens. So who will be the GP of the ruh? Who is related to the akhirah. A person who is concerned about Jannah and about the hereafter. See, this is an easy thing to understand. Now, so what's the sickness that through which we can realize that the ruh is in a good way? First thing is, because we're related to the hereafter, this discussion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His ahkams, His orders, the ruh, the soul that is sick, it will not implement the orders of Allah. That's the first sign of a ruh. The soul, your inner soul, if it's not accepting Allah's ahkams, it's not practicing Allah's orders, it's not following Allah's instructions, then realize that ruh is sick. Very simple step number one. So that's sign number one. The sign number two. Sign number two. That the ruh, the soul that is not strong, which is sick, what's the sign number two? Is that it will not do ittaba'i Rasul. It will not have love for the sunnah of Rasulullah. It will not care about the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. This is the sign of the sick soul and the healthy soul. And the third sign, the ruh, the soul that is sick and well, it will love sins so much, it will enjoy the sins. It will love committing sins. The ruh, that it will enjoy it, it will take taste from it. So when the ruh, your soul, when it disobeys Allah's orders, it's because it's not the body that does this. You know, when we do ibadah, then the ibadah, that way you bopping up and down and rushing to do ibadah, that's your body. But when a person's soul realizes that Allah's watching me, and I can see Allah, that's the ruh that does the ibadah. There are two types of salah. One is a salah done by the ruh, one is salah done by the body. What's the ibadah of the body? Nothing. Wasteful. Yes? Just like the body drags you to the world. So the ruh, when it's unwell, you'll waswasa, shaitan, thinking, whispers, oh, I prayed salah, but he's done nothing in effect. This isn't about dua, what's he's asking, how should I do dua, what are my words, how should I pray, what am I thinking about, how should I fold my hands, where should I put my hands, how should I do the postures, nothing, because we have no concern. So the ruh will not allow you to do that. The ruh, when it's healthy, then if you're doing any action in salah against the sunnah, your ruh will tell you, what are you doing? You're spoiling the salah. Say Subhanallah. But we don't know. We don't know what's the tariqah of salah, the method of salah. Many people have seen when they sit in a tiyat position, somebody's hand is here, somebody's hand's in the wrong place, and you feel uneasy when you see that. Because why are we following the wrong practice? You think, what's the person doing? Person who's understanding, he thinks he's educated, but he doesn't have to pray salah. Hazrat Mujaddad al-Thani, rahmatullah, he's written a complete subject on this topic that you don't even know your finger when to raise the finger in salah according to the sunnah. How much nur and rahmah descends at that time when a person raises his finger in a tayyat position. But we don't know. Somebody's got his hand here or there. This is the method that when you sat down. I'm not going into a fiqh class now, jurisprudence. Okay, leave that point now. Otherwise, I think that I'm teaching fiqh. But very simple way to understand this point is that just like I learned, where did I learn my salah from? From my sheikh, from my teacher, subhanallah. So I said, what should I do? Just like my sheikh, he prayed, I watched him, and I learned. I knew that my sheikh cannot practice against the sunnah. I knew that. Subhanallah. So don't look at other things. Look, how is my sheikh praying? Where has he put his finger? But we don't value these things. We don't appreciate these things. We don't look at these things from our teacher. Have you ever noted your teacher? I should also pray just like my sheikh prays. Where does he put his hands? How does he pray? No, we don't care. Very simple formula. Simple method. Just imitate your sheikh, your teacher. Where will he give you daras? How will he explain to you? How will he openly explain to you in technical detail? He'll bring you a practical way of life. Wherever you see, for example, if your sheikh, if may Allah not allow that, if he does something against the sunnah, he's not an angel. He's not perfect, is he? Then be careful that, for example, somehow the message can say, ask the Masla Hazrat, do we put the hand like this or should we put the hand like this? If he's in a mood, he'll explain to you. If he doesn't, he won't explain to you. Say Subhanallah. So this point came in between. So what was I saying? Going back to the subject? The ruh, the soul. The situation with regards to success in the hereafter is related to ruh, the soul. Not your body. We're not worried about the physical sicknesses in the world. We're worried about the hereafter. What's the biggest thing related to the hereafter? Allah's obedience and obeying Allah's orders. This is the biggest factor for success. That's why we're born. That's why we're in this world. So when our ruh, the soul, when it obeys Allah's orders, good. If it doesn't obey Allah's instructions, then it's a waste of time. The five faraid Allah's instructed us through. If we're not practicing, how many people are there today who don't pray salah? Why don't you pray salah, brother? He won't say, oh, it's my ruh that's sick. No, I don't feel like praying. Shaitan's pestering me. I don't feel like praying. Nothing of the sort. These are the signs that your ruh, your soul has degraded, has gone downhill. Do you know this is a masjid you're in? The thawab for praying salah in congregation. People know this. This is the punishment for not praying. The women folk know if I don't do parda, this is the punishment for me. If I don't observe hijab, this is punishment. This is how you should raise your children. Going out of your homes is haram, etc. What thing is it that we don't know? We know everything, mashallah, today, that we are living in the age of technology, media, communication, digital age. People give speeches, they are communicated across the world. Everybody knows. But why don't we have the determination, the courage? Why? Because when a person's body is sick, and he knows, I can work, I can run my shop, business, but he can't walk. He says, I'm so weak, I can't go to my shop. I can't run my business. I feel like earning hundreds of thousands and driving my taxi, but my body doesn't have the energy, I can't work. So he complains. Am I right or am I wrong? Same way, when our ruh is weak, we know everything is important. Allah's orders, they're important, they're related to the hereafter. We know these things. Allah's ahkams, Allah's instructions and disobedience and the big punishments for not obeying Allah. And the Quran, we understand it, we read it, but Allah mentioned in the Quran the punishments for every sin. Allah says that I will explain for not doing this sin, for doing this sin, for practicing this sin. Allah's given a whole history of the previous nations. The whole history lesson is the Quran. Information Allah has delivered to us. And every prophet that came before us, Allah has given us thousands of messages of the previous ummahs and the sins they committed, the punishments. One Nabi, Allah Ta'ala explains the whole event of his Mahmubin, his beloved prophets, the previous messengers, and the greatest ummah of the greatest Nabi, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine Allah's orders and instruction explanations. But who looks for these in the Quran? No one's got any time. We go towards other things in the dunya. We don't have no care for the deen. So, that place where you see my son, my daughter, my wife, my home, my family, my nation, my family, that they are breaking the orders of Allah, the orders Allah has given, that today my ruh is not functioning, it's morning time, the order is come to me already. Every second our mu'min, he is aware of the hukums of Allah that are coming to him. Every second, there's not a second in the life of a mu'min that the order of Allah is not incumbent on the believer. Subhanallah. And the order of Allah comes with a quality. Here's another point that's come to me, I'll share that with you. What's the point here? What is the glory? It's the glory of the Sharia. Every second of a Muslim's life, the order of the Sharia is descending on that person. There's no second of the life of a Muslim wherein no glorious point of the Sharia is not compulsory on him. It's a fact. That definitely at that time, ask that person where, and it's transparent. For example, there's one mirror that's dirty and cloudy. You can't see that the reflection. But then, when, for example, the sun's gonna come out every day, isn't it? There's one mirror here, one mirror here. One mirror that's got dirt accumulated, one mirror that's clean and shiny. On which mirror will the shine reflect off? That mirror that's clean. So there's one wali Allah, clean heart, pure heart, free from the sins, free from the greed of the dunya, free from all of the wasteful tomb. Lilayat is inside him. There's another human being who's got, with a clean heart. Then there's another person who's got dirt and impurities upon him. And the sun is out. The rays are coming, and that mirror, that glass that's shining and clean and pure will reflect that light to the other people. Say subhanAllah. And those mirrors that are dirty and impure, then there's no reflection come from the Allah. Says in the Quran, every moment, the mu'min whose heart, the believer whose heart, those people who are called the walis of Allah, every believer is a wali Allah. And his heart is such that every tajalli, every brilliance of Allah, And the luminous shine and glory, that light, I'll explain that what that is as well now, so you can hear clearly. That all of these is according to Sharia. We say tajalli means light and nur is coming to the heart. Nothing of the sort. Every you can say magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah's glory is the reflection of the Shariat of Muhammad. Allah ta'ala sealed His glory into the glory of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember this. So the Sharia defines this. Every ood of the Sharia, every ood of Allah ta'ala's deen descends on the mu'min every second. And he whose heart is clean, he is receiving the Sharia of Allah. How does he receive it? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Yani, the Muslim, order of Allah comes. This is order of Allah. This is the order of Allah. He's aware. There's a statement of the Wali of Allah, beautiful statement of Wali Allah. He said, it seems like this to me, a beautiful, unique statement. He said, it seems like this to me, this Wali Allah said, that every second Allah is saying, do this now, do this now, do this now, do this now. It seems to me it's live, he said. As Arfi Ramdeh, I think, said this, yes. Dr. Abdul Hayy Rahmatullah Ali. My Mohsen Azam, who was a great teacher of mine, he gave me the opportunity, he gave me that permission to sit in his service. I'm so fortunate, I consider myself so fortunate that I was in his company. So tell me now. So he said that, I feel like every second Allah is saying, now you should do this, now you should do this, okay, now do this. So why did he feel like this? Was every moment he lived his life in accordance to the ahkams of Allah. What do? We pray salah, azan, salah, even that I said that maybe with a dirty ruh we pray the salah, and that's it. So our ruh is what? Our ruh, our soul, what is our ruh, our soul? It is dirty, impure, and then if we see the second point, sign, ittabai Rasul, some nothing of the sunnah life. The rest, we just say we are ashiks and lovers. What kind of ashiks and lovers are we? Tell me. Without ittabai sunnah, without obedience to the sunnah, nobody can be a mu'min. And he says, I'm an ashik. I'm a lover of the deen. Ashik, I've got ishq, I'm in love with the deen. Does this make sense? Doesn't make sense at all. So, shaitan plays games. Shaitan hasn't overtaken the world. So he's a mu'min, we are mu'min. But there's dirt on top of the ruh. Those people are sick, they are unwell, unhealthy. There's no GP, no practitioner who can guide that person. He hasn't registered with the GP. So that ruh, that soul which is sick, unwell. So point number one, doesn't obey Allah's instructions. Point number two, ittabai Rasul, isn't the present. But the ummah of the Rasulullah, every ummati, when the Prophet has given us ahkam, we should have that yearning, we want to be ummati. We say, no, there's no need to do this. This is not necessary. Why do we need to wear imamah? We don't need to wear the turban. Oh, this is sunnat-e-adi. This is sunnat-e. There's thousands of terms and categories. No sahaba used to speak like this. Don't take what I'm saying badly and give a fatwa. But no sahabi said, this is sunnat-e-this and this is sunnat-e-this. One way. Did Rasulullah do this? Yes, end of story. End of Amanna wa Sadaqna. We've heard and we will obey and practice. That is ishq. That is the love. One sahabi to the sahabi, why are you doing this action? He said, why are you doing this action? The sahabi, he said that he could never accept that he's doing it himself. The sahaba had a different understanding. The reply would come, Alhamdulillah, I'm doing this action because I saw my Prophet do this. He said, Amanna wa Sadaqna, I will also do this today because you've told me this. What do we say? Oh, this is the category, this type of sunnah, that type of sunnah, you don't have to do this sunnah, this is optional, this is voluntary, this is etc. We have made so many levels. If we do this, imamah, if you wear all the time, we'll become bidah, innovation. I said, Yaar, what are you talking about? How can this be? How can this be? This logic until today I have not understood. If you do this sunnah all the time, it will become fard or compulsory, don't be extreme, etc. What kind of understanding of the deen is? I'm amazed when I hear this classification from the people. Because the walis of Allah, the I sat with, the sobadad, within that they didn't have ilm, they were kings of ilm. They were the emperors of ilm. You cannot even get to the dirt on their feet, on their heel of my sheikh, my teacher. Hazan Gangohi Ramtai, my sheikh who played in the Khanqah of Hazan Gangohi Ramtai, and his tarbiyah took place there. And he did ziyarah of the great, luminous, our ancestors. You think he didn't have ilm? He didn't have knowledge? He'll have no knowledge. He was a Sufi without ilm? No way at all. They took the ruh from their ilm. And they practiced the essence of the ilm. They didn't talk about it all day long because the essence of ilm is khashiyat of Allah. The awareness of Allah. If you look at one person, let's take a mango tree. Look, another example I give to you here. If you take a mango tree, until the mangoes don't grow, you'll keep on looking at that tree. But when the mango grows and you suck that mango, you won't think about the tree. You'll keep on sucking on the mangoes. Then you don't care about the tree because you are sucking on the fruit that has grown. Same way, ilm, the knowledge is the tree. It's the tree. When the fruits grow on the tree, subhanAllah, the marifah, the awareness, when you start eating that, then you forget about the tree. Where's the tree? You just practice and you practice and you're immersed in the love of Allah. Then you don't say, I'm this, I've got this title, I'm this scholar, I've got this ilm. He don't care about those things. He cares about the primary evidence, which is the fruit from the tree, which is the practice on that ilm. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or you don't understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So they were the scholars, our forefathers. They didn't take the knowledge just by the physical knowledge. They used to practice on that knowledge. Their faces, their ibadah, their bodies, their lifestyle told us that they were practicing the ilm. All life long in the company of my sheikh, I swear by Allah, my whole life long in the company of my teacher, I never saw a second in the life of my teacher, Hazrat Sahib, that any second passed in his life against the sunnah of Rasulullah. Never. Even if he was angry, happy, poverty, poor life, traveling, ibadat, worship. Every second I tested, I saw my sheikh, hunger, no clothes, and severe conditions in his life. I saw my sheikh. But not one second did I see in his life, in my teacher's life, that Hazrat Sahib lived a life opposite to the sunnah of Rasulullah. Why? Because his ruh, his soul was strong, say subhanAllah. This is the demand of the ruh that is strong. This is the demand of the Quran. Time and time again the Quran tells us. Time and time, the Quran is filled with this demand, instruction. Come towards me, come towards me, come towards me, practice me. And this is our ruh. But our ruh today is so weak. We talk so much, but we don't practice. So what is our ruh? So do you understand the signs of the healthy soul and the weak ruh? We don't have a desire to obey Allah's instruction. We don't have a desire to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have no desire in these things. No, I'll do it one day. I'm weak. Sometimes I get up. Okay, that's fine. Your ruh is sick, so seek for the cure. Say subhanAllah. But we don't even accept that we are sick and our ruh and our soul is sick. No, I'm fine. It's okay. I'll try my best. Look, I try to practice and Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah will forgive us. Astaghfirullah. So, Allah, if Allah is Ghafoor Rahim with us, then was any Ghafoor Rahim with the Sahaba? Were they wasting their time? The Sahaba Ikram, they saw. We said, no, I do ziyarah of Rasulullah. I see his dreams. I don't need to pray salah. I go on conferences and marches. That's enough. No way at all. The Sahaba Ikram, not one, not two, 124,000 Sahaba. And they always heard and they saw Rasulullah and they practiced. Never did they discard Allah's instructions and Rasulullah's sunnah. Never. The Sahaba. So now the third sign through which we can identify is our ruh healthy or unwell. Through the desire to do sins. The ruh that is sick will drag you to sins, whether you're on your own. When you're on your own, then you'll do dirty actions. When you have a dirty ruh, then what will it make you do? Dirty actions. Excuse me, I'm trying. How will you try? If you are sick, a person's physically sick, tell me, he's bodily sick, he can't eat, drink, move. If you say to him, you're sick, take this medicine, you'll become like this. Doctor arrives to him home. If you take these antibiotics, course and prescription, and this, you'll become well, you'll get energy. 1 hour he lectures you, the doctor, will you be cured? No. Next doctor comes, okay, you're sick. Immediately, he prescribes him the medicine, gives him the medicine 3 times a day, he takes it. Will he be healthy? Why? He will be, because he's taken that medicine. So if our ruh is, well, I don't pray salah, I backbite, commit sins, and argue, quarrel, fight with people, etc. Then for that, you have to eat the medicine, say subhanAllah, to get well. You have to consume the medicine, then your ruh will be healthy. No, let's go and hear his speech, I'll enjoy myself. Your ruh will not be cured through speeches. Then again, next morning, you won't come to Fajr. Again, I've seen many people, masjid full, speeches, good scholar comes, alim, maulana, ulema, respected scholars, pious elder gives takreer, speech, the whole masjid's full, they listen to his speech. But what's their fault? Their ruh is sick, they don't understand how to cure it. Just like give the example, the sun is rising and it's razor on that dirty mirror. So I've seen, when I come to Fajr, those same people, there are less people the next morning, the regulars to Fajr. Then I don't see the new addition of people who are there, Fajr Salah. New addition of people, you don't see. It's not their fault, the poor souls. It's not the scholar's fault. It's not those people who heard. He gave his duty and he went. Whose fault is it? Those people who did not arrive because their ruh is sick and well. Why did they come for the speech? to enjoy themselves. I want to hear an enjoyable speech, feel good. And he'll tell me that he's wrong and he's good. Maulana Sahib speaks, we have a good laugh, we have enjoyment. And when this person comes, we'll enjoy ourselves. Tariq Jameel, they don't go to listen to his words, they go for enjoyment. If they went to listen to his speech, to his message, I swear by Allah that that person would be improved, that person. I swear by Allah. I swear by Allah, if today you have come for enjoyment, you will not be improved. But if today you've come, alhamdulillah, with the niyyah to be corrected, then tomorrow morning you'll be here for dhikr. You'll be sat here for dhikr tomorrow morning. You don't need to remind him. Those people whose ru' is strong, you have no need to remind that person. Point is coming. Shall I share it with you? Allah's friends of Allah, the friends of Allah, they emphasize less on speaking, they emphasize more on giving the medicine. Yes, so I am the person who gives medicine, that I'm giving a speech now, but you will never see that without the medicine I will send you back. No way, no way. Has this ever occurred? I will give you the medicine, that I put all of the packets of medicine in the pocket. And I tell you where it's made, where it's manufactured. I'm the chemist and I sell the medicine as well. I have the pharmacy, I manufacture the medicine, and I give the medicine. He says, give me the injection of corona, please, he says to the doctor. He says, yes, straight away I'll give it to you. That I want my ruh to become alive. Immediately I'll make your ruh alive. The pharmacy is with me. I travel with the bag, with the medicine. Say, subhanallah, subhanallah. So this, have you ever seen a fakir who travels with the bag of medicines in your life? Have you ever seen a fakir who gives a suh? I'm just joking anyway, just to explain to you the example. Yeah, I'm a patient. I'm humble. When I see you, alhamdulillah, I get the cure as well. MashaAllah, you are pious people sat here. And through your company, you've left your work, your dunya, your beds. And you will go home and your wives are going to scold you. Why are you so late? And your kids are going to scold you. Where have you been? Yes, you have to go back. So MashaAllah, you are pious people. You've left the dunya. Maulana Sahib has come here. He has to lead the salah in the morning. And somebody has to give dars tomorrow. They have come here as well, the scholars. So me, I'm honored that I can do your ziyarah. You are pious people. I'm sat here, the humble servant. Who am I? I'm nothing compared to you. Nothing. May Allah Ta'ala give you more promotion and success. May Allah Ta'ala allow you to come time and time again to the dhikr of Allah. So brothers, the person who has a strong ruh, strong soul, he'll come definitely tomorrow morning in the dhikr. Definitely. Because it's been explained, those who come for enjoyment here, they will wander around, Tariq Jameel enjoyment, he will come, other scholars will come enjoyment. Yesterday there was a board, Tariq Jameel will come, there'll be no space to sit, it'll be full. The bayan. I'll be sat there at the front, I've come here to listen to Tariq Jameel. For listening, we've gone there. He gives a good speech, yaar. Let's go there. Oh wow, wow, what great points, technical points he gives. People will say that. So when you understand the symptoms of the sickness, what should we do? You shouldn't listen. You should eat the medicine. Consume the medicine to get the cure. So we now know that we need to take the medicine. So now, brothers, it's clear now that just like the body is sick, we know about the ruh, the soul, and now we've understood the sicknesses of the ruh. When it's sick, it doesn't do certain actions. And when the ruh is healthy and well, it runs after Allah's orders. No one has to remind that person who has a strong soul. Mad is he? When his ruh, his soul has understood, and the messages have arrived to the ruh, and he's understood and he's alert, then khayru wa abaqa. The body, when it's strong, where does the body run towards? Work, business. Say subhanallah. Yaar, I need to drive the taxi. I need to open my shop. Does any child sit at home when he's healthy and well? Does any man sit at home? Does any youth, he runs after the shop and employment and work, career. He's working for the morning, sunrise. I'm going to go and earn money, make money. Because the body is the route towards success in the world. Just like the body drags you towards the dunya. I've explained to you the point. The body drags you towards the material. And those whose ruh, whose soul is alive, then the ruh will drag you to the akhirah. Khayru wa baqa. And this is where Allah's message is there. Khayru wa baqa. Allah says about the dunya, what does Allah say? Deception. The dunya is deception, fraud. The world is not even equal to the value of the wing of the mosquito. Yes, and the body of the carcass, the dead carcass of a donkey, and the stench that comes from that, the world is even worse than that. Rasulullah told us practically in the hadith, these examples. These are the sahaba were looking, and Rasulullah was telling his companions that this carcass of the dead donkey and the flies were eating its flesh. And Rasulullah said, has it got any value? And the sahaba said, yeah, Rasulullah, it's got no value. Rasulullah said, the dunya is worse than this. Why do you run after the dunya? Why do you run after the dunya then? So, can Rasulullah tell us a greater message in this? When the ruh is dirty in the morning, it gets up and runs after the dunya. But those whose ruh is alive, Though his soul is alive, they run after the akhirah. Khair wabaka. His soul will say, oh, this is dirty, I don't want this. I want khair, better than this. Allah says, khair. Khair wa abaka. Forever and ever, your ruh. The world is the worst, and it will end. The body itself, it drags you towards the dirt, the soil, the grave. We may put makeup on our bodies and put on good clothes and fragrance, make ourselves look beautiful, but we're running after the grave, the soil. But those whose soul is alive, they don't run after the grave and the soil and the dirt. They run after the heavens. He doesn't die. There's a poem in Punjabi. What's that sheikh's name? I can't remember now. The poet. Great couple. He said, I haven't died. Somebody else has died. He said, I haven't died. I'm alive still. I'm going into my grave alive. Beautiful couple about the mu'min. It's in Punjabi. I've forgotten the exact words. So, the mu'min whose ruh is alive is ajib. Khayru wa abaqa. What does this mean? That you've made a mansion, palace in the world. I've got this building, this asset, this money. Let me show you my houses. How much money. Well, all people are sat here. And you would have done this. Keep on doing this if you want. This, Allah said, do this, work hard, no problem. But Allah says, these things in the world will end. Doesn't matter how high your building goes, but it will end one day. Doesn't matter how much money you accumulate, but the currency will eventually finish in this world. It will be eliminated. But khair wa baqa, what Allah Ta'ala says, I'm speaking about, then the glory of the hereafter is such, subhanallah. Allah's Nabi says, somebody did he say, khair wa baqa, about this word, this verse, khair wa baqa. One companion came, Sahabi. I remember this event. Shall I share with you this event? Subhanallah. And there was a man. It wasn't Sahabi. He was a man who didn't look good. Yes, he didn't look good at all. Not a Sahabi, just a man who didn't look good. And he came to the court of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked a weird question. He said, oh Prophet of Allah, you are looking at me. He said, yes, I'm looking at you. He said, can there be anyone more ugly than me in the world? Can there be anyone more smelly than me in the world? And Rasulullah stayed quiet. I'm just explaining to you the hadith in detail, the meaning of it, the meaning of the hadith. He asked a question, a unique question. He said, O Prophet of Allah, tell me something. Rasulullah said, yeah. He said, if I have iman like yours, Subhanallah, hadith, if I have iman like yours, and I do actions like yours, then will I go into paradise just like you? Subhanallah, what a simple, basic question, eh? Beautiful question. Who is he asking? He who came to take people to Jannah. He's asking Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah said, ha, if he says yes, then it'll be yes. If he says no, it'll be a no. Subhanallah. Whatever words came from his tongue, Allah accepted our Nabi's words. That's why when he said to people, what do you want, Jannah? Then they tell him, this is how you get Jannah, this is how you get paradise. Allah's Nabi said that this is where people argue, Hazir, Nazir, what was Rasulullah, what was he? Our qawm, Muslims are weird thing today. No qawm, no Nabi had a nation like us. The amount we argue and dispute, and I'm amazed. We try so hard to explain people. What is right, I swear by Allah, there's no need to prove anything. Clean your hearts and everything will become clear to you. What is deen? Who is Hazir, Nazir, Ghaib, Ilmul Ghaib? Everything will come into your heart to explain to you the simplicity of deen. About my Nabi, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, you're arguing and trying to put people astray. Allah says, what's happened to you, mad people? That subhanAllah, he came so clear and pristine and pure with a message. Nothing of his is hidden, said Allah, about his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you're arguing about his ilm, did he have ilm? No, Ghaib. This, Hazir, Ghair, Nazir, was he Noor, Bashir, etc. I said, what's this time wasting you're doing? Discussions which are irrelevant. So, yes. So he said, that man said, if I have iman belief like you, O Prophet of Allah, and if I start practicing like you, okay, and will I be with you in paradise then? He asked the question. So the answer came. He didn't give a straight answer. What was the answer? Rasulullah said, he said, I swear by Allah in whose hands is my life. Subhanallah. Rasulullah became passionate at that time. What question are you asking? What type of question is this? Imagine a man, a simple question he asked. Rasulullah said, I swear by Allah in whose hands is my life. And I'll tell you the answer for this. Allahu Akbar. That at that time, When you, that iman, that kalima you're talking about, listen carefully, my brothers, our mothers and fathers and our grandfathers, they got iman. Look at the haqiqat of kalima. Rasulullah is telling us about the reality of our kalima. We just shout out, but this is a fantastic message for everybody. Such a fantastic, that we, for us, that we don't have value of the deen equivalent to the dirt. That's how we're selling our iman today. We are selling our iman for nothing. Who wants to buy our iman? We say today, we'll sell it to you. Easily, muqaddas, pure, holy places, our iman is being bought. And not big things. No, no. A beautiful woman, she'll buy our iman. With one sight, she'll take our iman away. Yes, muqaddas, holy places, women are buying the iman of people. Big, big mu'mins. Kaaba, Madinatul Manawwara, and these holy places. Such small, small examples and wasteful things. They purchase our iman. Look at the value of iman. My brothers, listen to the message, listen to the message, listen to the message, listen to the message. I swear by Allah, we don't know what is iman. Will we leave this world with iman or not? La ilaha illallah, is it protected in our hearts? That if you go on a journey, for example, and in your pocket you have money, and you advise that, look, if in this journey that you're going on, if you don't protect this money, if you protect it, you will be successful in your journey. Otherwise, you'll have to beg people. You'll get no money. Protect your money on the journey. When a haji goes to a hajj, first thing he makes is that purse with the zip. He has pockets because he wants to hide his money. He wants to hide his passport. He doesn't want to get it stolen. Say subhanallah. So, those Muslims who value the iman always in their body, they put a zip pocket and they sew it and they put the iman in there and they protect it, they do those deeds. The Rasulullah said, if you want to protect your iman until the hereafter, then be steadfast on these actions and your iman will not go to waste. But we don't know what those actions are, we don't care about those actions. What is that event? That such we have wasted our iman, la ilaha illallah, we've sold, we made it a joke today in the world, la ilaha illallah. So Allah's Nabi said, he became alert, passionate, he said, I swear by Allah, am I taking your time up too much, brothers? Am I wasting your time today? Tell me, am I taking too much time? No, okay, fine. So Rasulullah said, I swear by Allah, in whose hands is my life. Do you know the meaning of this kalima? He said that when a person will go to paradise with this kalima, then the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do with the kalima, his affirmation of faith, Allah will give him the sealed confirmation in his hand. When he gets that confirmation in his hand, that human being will become an inhabitant of paradise. He says, forget about what you know. Your face that you think you are ugly, you're talking about, that I speak about you, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that when you get the confirmation of faith and thereafter, your beauty will be so much that from 1,000 miles away, the beauty of your, the rays of light of your beauty will travel 1,000 miles away. Subhanallah. 1,000 miles away, your beauty, the rays, the light of your beauty, if you protect your iman and go to the hereafter. My brothers, in our hearts we have this kalima. And on small things we lie and we waste our kalima. For the world we waste our kalima. With our deeds, due to pride and takabbur and showing off and the love of the deen, I want to become this. I want confirmation and acceptance. And for title of the dunya, we waste the title of the hereafter. For acceptance in this world, we waste acceptance of the hereafter. Allah gives people status of deen and they waste them for money and taqa and dunya and greed. Such a great status of the hereafter. Khairu wa abaqa, Allah says. I'm telling you about abaqa. About this, I need to speak about this for a little while. That's how I feel like discussing this today. Shall I discuss this? Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. So, when we will take that kalima to the hereafter, and 1,000 miles far the rays of light of your beauty will travel, and nobody will be able to absorb that light. And Rasulullah said, good deed, and the kalima, the response to that question. So, what's the first thing that Rasulullah said here? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah al-azim. Rasulullah said, the 124,000 good deeds Allah Ta'ala gives. Point is coming. Shall I share that with you? It's come. That this amount, Rasulullah said, 124,000. Immediately my thought go to which point? Why 124,000? Because the Nabis, the prophets were this much in number. So what we realize is that every good deed is attached to one of the prophets, subhanAllah. That's the point. So one Nabi, when he had that glory and that status, what was that status? One good deed, subhanAllah wa bihamdihi, of this Ummah. But this Ummah, that they will get the sawab of all of those Nabis with this one statement of this kalma. This point I've just shared in your service. Whether you like it, accept it. That, for example, I cannot give you the reference for this. In such points, I cannot give you the reference. But if you enjoy it when you hear it, alhamdulillah. Due to my sheikh, my teacher. So 124,000, every Nabi got one good deed to each one. But this ummati of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that every single reward of that kalima he will attain. This is that kalima. So he stated, the 124,000 good deeds, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for one good deed from that, is that when this kalima will give to your hand, the beauty, the extreme of this beauty and your good deeds will be so valuable, that one good deed from the 124,000 is that the mountains of the dunya, that if you put one good deed on all the mountains of the earth, they will crumble to dust. That's how much thawab you'll be given for this kalima. That's what we are, khairun wa abaka. And we are running after licking the dirt and the soil of this world. And Allah says, your maqam is this. This is your status, but your ruh, you've made it dead. You cannot attain the maqam of the hereafter. You have dragged your bodies towards the soil of the earth, and you're running after houses and properties and shops and businesses. You're running after women. But what do you know? Allah says that if your ruh was alive, your soul was alive, what great beauties have kept for you in the hereafter? Allah says, look, say subhan. Say alhamdulillah. Is there any wait? Does it take long? Does it take much energy? But this kalima, those whose souls are alive, Allah's talking to those people. Whoever's ruh is alive, not sick, unwell. When the ruh recites, alhamdulillah, it's the ruh that recites, not the body, not the tongue. Remember this. Remember this. When your ruh, soul recites, alhamdulillah, when it says, what happens? What happens? That half the mizan is filled with the good deeds. Tell me. And it's stated, if that person with subhanAllah, he joins alhamdulillah, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, yes? So first we mentioned alhamdulillah, if you join subhanAllah, if you say subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, then the heavens and the earth is filled with the good deeds, with that nur, with the light. And if then on top of that, your ruh says subhanAllah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, then if you attach that, subhanAllah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, then you have become so valuable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's most beloved kalama is this statement in full. So then there's no end point to your thawab when you've just recited the most beloved statement in kalama. Then there's no limit to your thawab. The ittaba'i nur, ittaba'i deen, ittaba'i rasul, Allah says this is that kalama. Allah loves this kalama so much that when your ruh recites this, soul recites this, then your nabi has this so beloved that everything in this world, the sun and the stars, whatever is in this universe, that this kalama, your prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam holds this kalama more dear than everything in this world. But today, if you give someone £5 note, you start urinating, running after £5 note, £50 note, don't ask that person. And he'll bend his back over, backwards, to get that £50 note. But somebody, if he's got in his ruh, he doesn't understand the value of dhikrullah, of remembering Allah. Because our ruh is dead, it's unwell. We don't understand the value of dhikr. We think it's a game, just pastime. Oh, the dhikr people. The dhikr jamaat, we say. What dhikr jamaat? What dhikr people? I'm amazed when people say this. Yes? The ajeeb titles and statements we give to those people who do dhikr wala. We're doing weird actions that we shouldn't have done in this world. Yes? That we live good actions and we're running after the dunya like mad people. Allahu Akbar. Our ruh, the Ali Murtaza made our ruh come alive, subhanAllah. That may I give everything for Ali Murtaza, subhanAllah. That he gave us the injection for our ruh to eliminate the corona. He knew that how strong was dhikrullah. That doesn't let us, the education, sit content. This is the sign of a ruh that's alive, my brothers. That your ruh is strong. Yes, your father doesn't come. Your uncle doesn't come. Your grandfather doesn't come. Your relatives don't come. So why do you come? Because you have got the injection of Hazrat Ali Murtaza, my sheikh, who's given you that passion. Say subhanAllah. So this is the peer, the true teacher, the sheikh. Nor have you seen him, nor do you know him. He lives in Gadai Sharif, 3,000-4,000 miles away, far. You don't even know about him. But he has made your family alive, subhanAllah. So this is the deen of Allah, the work of Allah. So, such a great learning here, that even the minor yasir, the hadith, let me complete that beautiful hadith. So when he was asked, and when the reply came, that poor soul who said, I don't look good, then he was sat there listening, he said, one is the statement of the Nabi of Allah, and imagine the husn and jalal of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his question, he said, that will I be with you in the hereafter? Will I get the good deeds? And look at the great answer that you are this, you recited the kalama and you are this. After that he asked, is this the case? He said, if this is the case, then this all will occur, then will I be with you in paradise? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes. Guarantee has been given to him, subhanAllah. He said, then I will see what you see as well. Look at his question. And Rasulullah said, yes, you will see in the hereafter. When Rasulullah said this, then he started to shriek out. This is a hadith. He shrieked out and crying, and his final scream, and then he passed away. Subhanallah. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu states, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, I saw myself, the Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his hands, he lowered him into his grave. Yes, and he wasn't good looking in appearance, but this was his example and how Rasulullah treated him. And mashallah, you are beautiful people, you have nice faces, you are good, your iman is strong, you have the wealth of iman. Why don't you revive your ruh, your soul? Why don't you make it alive? Why don't you go to the GP and say, revive my ruh, freshen my ruh? When your soul is alive, then you'll see how much, what is the sickness in the ruh, what are the signs of an unwell ruh. If your soul is implementing Allah's laws and orders, for example, if you're going far from Allah's instructions, if it's running after dirty things, don't blame anybody else. Don't blame anyone else or anything else due to your soul that's unwell. Rather look inside and accept, what should I do? My soul is sick. It's unwell. Which medicine should I consume? I need to make my ruh alive and energetic. I need to take the injection. Say subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Do you understand my words, brothers? Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand correctly what I'm saying? Has the message come to you? You'll understand that your ruh is unwell, or is it well? Am I the man of the world, or am I the man of the heavens? Subhanallah. I live on the world, but I wander around and travel in the heavens. Subhanallah. Very easily you'll understand and realize. So, if you are running to Fajr Salah and you don't treat nonsense, rubbish, I feel like doing it, I want to go, but when I try to go forward, I keep on going backwards. No nonsense. No rubbish. One action. You're coming, hasten, hastily, and you're alive on Allah's orders. If you're running after the dunya, then you're dead. And Allah says that before you've even died physically, you've passed away. Yes, you are a burden on the earth. You are a burden on the earth. You are, and the earth says, quickly pass away, please be gone with you, and feeding you, I'm fed up with you. I'm fed up with you. The earth, it complains. Who is this person wandering around me? But that person who's alive, when he rushes to Zalazin, the earth does dua. Allah, make him more alive. Allah, I'm enjoying his, the dog says, Allah, don't make him die here. I enjoy when he gets up in the night and he recites Surah Yasin. Allah, you made him Hafiz, and you give him the passion of a Hafiz. And he recites the Quran, he gets up in the night, subhanAllah, how he recites it. And he recites Surah Rahman, Surah Yasin, he wakes up in the morning, mashallah, tahajjud time. Tahajjud time. Quran is sealed in the hearts. Why? Oh, it's for the Taraweehs. People come and hear me and Taraweeh recitation. And I just recite 15 times over, I recited the Quran. We are the Ummatis, like we're like an organization. We just run a organization. This month we'll do this. This is Rajab. We'll keep these fast. 15 Shaban. We'll shout out. This has become a deen of tradition. Sahaba Karam didn't do this. Every day they had Ramadan. Every day was a night of power for them. Laylatul Qadr for them. SubhanAllah. There was no Laylatul Qadr that went empty-handed, where they did not see the tajalliyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was their life and their deen. Said, why do you run after the worries of the dunya? Is this a sadness? Sadness of the dunya? This is not happening. I'm not successful. I don't get this and that. Forget it. Just accept it. Your ruh, your soul is dead and unwell. Then abqa, that's what we need to think about. Another hadith that comes to my mind. Another hadith, beautiful hadith. My mind is swelling with this hadith. Subhanallah. What's this hadith? Ibn Masud, I think, narrated this hadith. He's the narrator. Sometimes it's in my head. Maybe I've forgotten. I think Ibn Masud or another companion, radiallahu anhu. So, was he saying that, Ya Rasulullah, please advise us, subhanAllah, that the third class, lowest, even if we become that, alhamdulillah, that's happiness. I'm saying this to myself. May Allah make me even the lowest
category so that at least I can get that success. They said, they asked, who is the least category in the least category of Jannah? Ya Rasul, who will that be, Ya Rasul? So I'll tell you who that person is, who is in the lowest category and level of Jannah. The lowest inhabitant of Jannah Paradise. What will be his situation, condition? Rasul said he will have 1,000 palaces. He will have 1,000 palaces of gold, silver, diamond, rubies and pearls. And subhanallah, of the colors of the arsh. Subhanallah, we don't even know the meaning. He will have a palace of the colors of the arsh. And every palace will be so big, large, that it will be the gap, the distance of 1,000 miles long it will be. And 1,000 servants and rivers of milk and honey, subhanallah. 80,000 ghulam in each, and hurain and maidens and servants and wives. Hurum maqsuratum fil khayam. Subhanallah, such hoors and wives that are sealed in the pearls that you can imagine their beauty. Not they walk around showing their face, I want to get married to him, and her burqa's come off and she's showing her body and they run after those women. They're nothing, those women, such hoors who are sealed, their beauty, they're prepared and ready, first class purity. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. And these wives were running after. Don't be upset when I'm saying these hurnis, and that you can't even satisfy their desires and what they want and their demands. And these hurs were running after. Subhanallah. They will be the sardars of the hurs if they're good and pious. May Allah give hidayah to everybody. These will be the hurs. And the wife who is pious in this world, how? That mashallah, her ruh is alive and she obeys Allah's orders. Yes, and she follows the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she dislikes sins. That woman's ruh is alive. Her soul is alive. What will she be? What maqam will she have in the hereafter? Her maqam will be that the hoor, Allah is saying in the Quran, hoorum maqsuratum fil khayam. She, that woman in the pearl in the hereafter, she won't even get to the dust on the foot of the hoor, the woman who leaves this world who is pious. Subhanallah. The woman of this world who is righteous, who is pious, she will go beyond the husn of the hoor of the hereafter because of her beauty, of her actions in this world. Another point comes to my mind. That I'll make you all ashiks, pure, solid inhabitants of Jannah today. And do amal with happiness. No need to be scared, praying salah, etc. No, nothing to be worried. Mashallah, they're going to Jannah. And your heart should become like this. Then the worries of the world should come out of the heart. No sadness in the heart. You're praying salah, mashallah, alert. You're going to earn Jannah, paradise. Your ruh is alert. Practice all day long to earn paradise. Your ruh should be alive. Not just, oh, I've come here, it's too hard for me, it's too difficult, I have to pray salah. Tomorrow fajr, oh, it's too hard. And you make your face so small. Complain. No, happy. Tell me more, I want to do amal Allah. Tell me more hadith so I can do more amal. The ruh demands, give me more food. These actions are beloved. Hazrat Sahab, some women folk, they phone, the messages come. Hazrat Sahab, tell me more, I want to do more action. And that you haven't done dhikr, we were waiting, subhanallah. They didn't even know that after eating, for example, that so much the ruh is demanding the deen, they're enjoying the deen and the practice, the dhikr of Allah, mashallah, their ruh is alive, they're enjoying. Because there's no greater food for the ruh than the dhikr of Allah. There's no greater supplement for the ruh than the dhikr of Allah. Just like our favorite food is biryani for the body. Isn't it? We're so happy, biryani. I don't eat biryani. But those people have biryani, wow, it's so nice, and we're happy and rejoicing, looking at the food and the dish. So the friends of Allah, their ruh is enjoying when? Subhanallah. Yes, the ruh of a mu'min says,
Alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa Allahu akbar.
So don't you enjoy when you recite like this? So come every morning. Why don't you come in the morning to do this dhikr? That see your ruh, your soul will become alive, you enjoy it. So this is the signs that we're discussing. So will you feel like after today to hear songs and music? Yes, that will you enjoy listening to songs and artists? This is the enjoyment, this is the sign of the ruh, the soul that's alive. Music, musical instruments, for you, sins will be stinky, smelling. Stench. I'm not saying that the ruh leaves the sins, but it will start to dislike the sins. Just like urine and toilet and stool. You don't like it, you don't leave it because you have to go. you have to relieve yourself, but you'll dislike those things. So your ruh will say, oh, forget songs and musical instruments. What rubbish music is this? You don't feel like it. You don't want to run. You rather want to run from those places with this music. Yes, you dislike those things. And you'll start loving Allah's ahkams. No hukam, but love for Allah Ta'ala's instructions. Ishq, deep-rooted love and passion for Allah's deen and instructions. So the minor level, 1,000 palaces, the lowest level of Jannah, 1,000 palaces of gold, silver, diamonds, rubies, pearls, in the color of the arsh, and in every palace, subhanAllah, Allah's wurs and rivers of milk and servants and food, great ni'mas Allah Ta'ala. Imagine what Allah will, and this is the lowest level of paradise, broken down level. Person like me, maybe if Allah allows me to get into paradise with Allah's great ni'mah. And the person will be the highest class of paradise, alhamdulillah. People like you, those who do dhikr of Allah, who practice the sunnah, who wear the imamas, who take the swears from people and the mockery from people, subhanAllah, and who are drowned in sadness and distress, who have sabr, and the men and the women, what will be their maqam in the hereafter? Alhamdulillah. Today, if you are patient and you endure the difficulties and you accept in your life the ahkams in order, doesn't matter how much you have to sacrifice, doesn't matter how many difficulties you have to pick up, but those ahkams of Allah that Allah has given to you and you accept them, and embrace them, and don't play games. This is called sabr, enduring. Yes, and look at what is Allah saying. Allah will give tests and challenges to the moment. Let me order him this. Let me give him this sadness and distress. And that we accept those orders of Allah. It doesn't matter if there's loss in the world, whether there's benefit in the world, whether there's wretchedness in the world, or whether there's height in the world, whether you're going down or whether you're going up. But we will take that order of Allah. As my Rabb said this, then I accept this order of Allah. That's it. Oh, yaar, don't do this. Your friends will say, you'll have lost in the world. You're going to lose wealthy. Money says, no, whatever is Allah's pleasure is my pleasure. I will not do any second action. Say, subhanAllah. So, our ruh, we can only say this when our ruh is not sick, and the sick ruh will not say these words. Okay, now let's progress to the next step. I think maybe we'll have the gathering today until Fajr. Yeah? So we'll continue till Fajr because our ruh is alive. So you continue discussing and learning. So let's continue. Let me give you the medicine at least for the ruh. The how do we make the ruh alive? At least let's get the cure. So, for example, when the body is sick. So where do these words come into my mind? I don't understand. Where are all these words coming to my mind today? Yes, I'm very amazed. Amazing it. Maybe you're not, but I am amazed. Where's all these words coming with a system and a flow and understanding and logic? Which kitab have I learned this from? Allah Ta'ala, unique points coming to my mind. How comes this has come? It's not a speech, I've not prepared. I don't know where all these words come. Anyway, let's continue this discussion. So there's a man, and he becomes sick, and you go to the doctor, GP, and the GP looks at you. What does that doctor do? He says that you got these deficiencies. Do you understand deficiencies? Something's lacking in the body. You don't have these vitamins. Eat vitamin D, do this, eat this. What happened then? As soon as you eat those things, he says, then your body will become healthy. He says, subhanAllah. The energy will come, the power will come. Do you understand? Okay, yes. He says, yes, take these vitamins. So let's go to the spiritual GP now. The spiritual practitioner, I don't feel like praying, I don't feel like doing hijab, I feel like shooting my husband, says the woman. I feel like beating him, I feel like be gone with him, the husband says, that I don't feel like praying salah, I don't want to go to the masjid, I try my hardest, get up in the morning, and I just run after the shop and the business and money, and I don't even pray Jummah. What should we do? And so go to the GP, the spiritual GP. The practitioner, what will the doctor say? He says, ah, yes, I see you. I can see that there's something deficient in your ruh. Say, subhanAllah. There's some vitamin that's gone low level in your soul. All these sicknesses that you're saying, the symptoms, you like committing sins, you disobey Allah's orders, and you don't even feel like practicing the sunnah. I'm scared following the sunnah. People will laugh at me. They'll mock me. If I practice the sunnah, they'll joke against me. They'll say, this is not good. It's too hard for me to practice the sunnah. What shall I do? It's too hard for me. I'm this, I'm that. What shall I do? So the GP, spiritual GP, you say, there are a lot of deficiencies within you. So the GP, the practical doctor say vitamin A, B, C, D. So what does the spiritual GP say to you? Say subhanAllah. He says, what's lacking my ruh that I can make my ruh alive? Because I've got to give you both comparisons. Because both do the same thing. Yes, he's a GP and he's a GP as well. So what cure does he give? The ruh, the soul. The spiritual GP. So the spiritual GP will give you the heavenly cure. And because the practitioner in the world, he will give you the medicines from the soil, from the earthly things, he'll give you a capsule medicine. But the Ruh spiritual GP, where does he bring the capsule from? From the heavens he'll give you the cure. From the heavens he gives you the cure, the heavenly medicine. So that your Ruh becomes strong. So now look at the deficiencies in your heart and the sins you commit. You don't feel like coming to Fajr Salah, you don't feel like doing Dhikrullah, Hazrat, there's Dhikr Majlis, and I know this Tawab, but I can't come, I don't feel like coming because you're sick. But there's something lacking inside you. Say Subhanallah. You're like monkeys. You're like apes. There's something lacking. I'll tell you the medicine. I've already explained to you the sickness. If you want to go to paradise and you want to become a high level paradise inhabitant, then I'll tell you the next story as well about Jahannam. What's the comparison? Otherwise, that's the second destination. If you don't take the medicine and you waste your time in this world, and with lot of speed the time is passing, Subhanallah, Allah says, Shadidul Iqabahim as well, where Allah gives the beautiful springs of paradise, Allah has also mentioned the punishments of hellfire. The Ruh, due to the sickness of the Ruh, where there's pride, where there's dunya, where there's greed, where there's hirs, all these things when you take, when your Ruh is ill, then the Ruh which is ill will drag all the sins with you to the hereafter. For every sin Allah will give a zaab in the Jahannam. Yes, Allah will say, why did you not cure your Ruh? Why did you drag yourself towards the punishment of the hell? Just like there's the cure, there's also destruction. If today you keep coming to the majlis, you do dhikr, it's your Ruh that's stopping you. There's no excuse for not coming to the majlis. There's no nonsense, wasteful talk. Our Ruh is saying, leave it, come, go, leave. It's not our choice. As I said to you, always Allah's order is descending on a mu'min who says, La ilaha illallah. Our decision is not allowed. That just like Allah has given control in the world, the same way in paradise Allah will release your Ruh. That's now your choice what you do. Just like your freedom of choice here, your body, in the hereafter, no salah, no fasting. There's enjoyment beyond enjoyment, Subhanallah. And Allah will say, just fill your heart with enjoyment. Just like in the world you didn't do the wrong. Subhanallah. Allah will say, so many women in the world, you lowered your gaze. Allah said, I'll give you so many women. Allah said, you left alcohol. Allah said, I'll give you alcohol tahur, pure alcohol. Allah said, those things you left for my sake in the world, and see how I will give you those things in the hereafter. Subhanallah. And you'll be enjoying yourself. What will you want? What do you want, Allah said? And you won't even say from your mouth, it'll be in your mind. You'll imagine from the heavens the things will come. I want to eat this meat. Immediately from the tree, that bird will fly to you. And it will be skinned, it will be roasted and be halal and cooked. And there, a beautiful dish, tasty. And it will come to you in front of you and say, please consume me, eat me. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So there, forever. Here we are restricted. We want to be free here. We're mad, we're jokers, we are animals and we are monkeys. There's no freedom here. Tell yourself repeatedly there's no freedom here. That we are prisoners here. Allah, we are prisoners here, whether we like it or not. Whether it's easy or hard, we are prisoners. And when a person's in the prison, whatever the prisoner, the prison officer says, you have to do it. Whatever the master says, you have to do it. End of story. You'll be free in the hereafter. Immediately the doors will open, you'll be released. The shackles, the chains, you know, like we are chained here. Everything will be released. Go. You'll run around, do women, do what you want. Laugh, joke. A man will see in his dream. He saw in his dream, somebody who knew they were, He said, I was amazed. They were sitting down drinking alcohol. Mom was amazing. He was throwing things and he had whores and he had grapes. He said, bring this and bring that. He said he was so happy. And I won't tell you his name. That person, he saw the dream. He said his name in the dream. I assume he's enjoying himself in paradise. And he said, oh, look at the, he said, give my message to people. And there was no intoxication in that. The alcohol you'll drink, there'll be no intoxication, but a beautiful feeling. And the feeling that you feel sometimes when you're in dhikr of Allah, in beautiful enjoyment feeling. I cannot tell you that, the enjoyment from my tongue. Say Subhanallah. So your Ruh will become alive today. This is the Ruh that is alive. So the cure now, let's come towards the cure. What is there lacking? What's defective in our bodies? What's the capsule you need to consume so you can fulfill the gap? Come to the gap. This is not ilm from the books. This is spiritual knowledge from the Quran and the Hadith. All Hadith, I can read the Quran, the proof, and explain to you from the Hadith. Everything I'm saying, it's not wasteful to. It's not wasteful to. But I'm not a hafiz, that every single verse, otherwise I would tell you every verse. It's in my heart, in my mind. I can recite these. And one person, he was a hafiz.
and this is Karachi, that mashallah, he used to listen to me, and he's a strong Hafiz. One day he said, Hazrat Sahib, I said, yes. The poor soul, he's passed away, may Allah give him Jannah. He said, Hazrat Sahib, are you Hafiz? I said, I'm not a Hafiz. Because I used to read Quran like this when I used to hear. He said, you're not a Hafiz. I said, no, I'm not a Hafiz. He said, it looks to me like you are a Hafiz who's forgotten the Quran, maybe. Subhanallah. Because sometimes a Hafiz forgets him. He says, you look like me, Hafiz who's forgotten. Anyway, so the whole Quran, I'm telling you from the verses of the Quran, the explanation, the depth. So the cure for the ruh, the soul, is a very fantastic and great cure. And if you complete the deficiency when there's a person who's lacking in vitamins, then immediately he becomes disobedient to Allah, he runs away from Rasulullah's obedience because he's something lacking, energy is lacking in his ruh. Just like when you don't have the vitamins, your body, your bones become brittle, etc. So like when your ruh becomes weak, then it's forced with sins, he doesn't pray salah, doesn't do ibadah, he runs after sins. But as soon as he picks up that source of vitamins to strengthen his ruh, immediately he starts to hasten towards the good deeds. Shall I tell you what's the cure? What is the cure? The cure is the love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, is this not in the hadith? Is this not in the Quran? And this is the cure for the sick soul. The love for Allah and His Rasul. When you don't have this in your heart, then you live the fake life. Because your ruh knows, if I do this, people will think I'm an ashik. They will consider me as a good Muslim. If I do this action, they'll think I'm pious. In this, you are not obeying Allah, you're not obeying Rasulullah, or nor are you running away from the sin. Say subhanAllah. Then that person's practicing those deeds for other gains. He will be shouting out loudly, I'm pious, and he will speak long, eloquent speeches, explanations. He'll sway left and right to explain himself. And he will try to compensate his lack of the love for Allah and his Rasul with other things. But he won't have obedience to Rasulullah in his life. He won't have the strength to leave the sins. And nor will he obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders. Yes, no, I'm this, I'm very high, great in my practice. I don't need to practice the deen, it's in my heart that this is love for Allah. These are their false claims. Am I right or am I wrong? And he will live the life of deception. No, my friends, forget the heart. Allah Ta'ala says, I've made apparent the whole deen. Whoever practically practices that deen, his heart is correct. In whose heart is my love, says Allah. And Rasulullah, then my love is such as Allah and Rasulullah. When the love is in the heart, then it shows apparently in the world physically. Physically. My Hazrat Sahib used to say this. That is not that fragrance. It's not that fragrance that he says that the person who runs that shop with the fragrance and he says that I've got the good fragrance. Rather, the person who comes will accept and confirm that fragrance is beautiful. The walis of Allah are such that people come to him, they say, I feel good and I'm sitting next to you and I'm getting the benefit from you. That's the sign. What a beautiful example Hazrat Sahib gave. So the ashik are not those people who claim, empty claims, who run around in the dunya with the false claims. Rather, the people of the world confirm that, yes, you are the true lover. Never do you practice against the sunnah. They confirm that he is the true lover of Allah Ta'ala's deen. Say subhanAllah. So for this, what do we need, my brothers? What do we need? We need to make our ruh alive. That person whose ruh is dirty, what does he need? The soul that is sick? The love of Allah and his Rasul, the ishq. And the person who has disobedience in his heart, who is playing games with the deen, and he runs after the sins, or batini sins, and backbiting, dunya, love for the dunya, for that person, clearly he should realize that inside you, you don't have the love for Allah and his Rasul. There's something lacking inside you. Yes, don't look towards your sujood and your Quran and your recitation. You don't have amal on the deen. Brother, inside you, there's something lacking in the love of Allah and his Rasul. He will never accept that. Why? Because the ruh is sick and he'll commit a bigger sin after that. What is that? He'll have kibr and pride inside. Yes, me? You say I'm sick, I pray salah, I read Quran, I recite Quran, I'm this, people accept me, they say I'm pious. How can you say I'm wrong? Never will he accept. But his amal, they prove that you do not obey Allah and his Rasulullah. You have internal batini sins. There's no one to explain to you, no inside, but you don't want to accept physically that there's one big sin you're doing on top of that, which is kibr, pride. And you don't admit, you'll never admit himself that he has the defects inside him. And he never will accept that he is inferior. For the dunya he's doing everything, and for the akhirah he has no relationship with the akhirah. You will never accept that. Say subhanAllah. Is it hard for you to understand what I'm saying? Or you understand what I'm saying? Am I right? Put your hands up if you understood up to now what I'm saying. Okay, fine. Right, let's carry on. So what we realize now is that at that time you will know when the love of Allah and His Rasul salam, if it's not inside your heart, then you know something like it. So what injection do we need so that the love of Allah and the Rasul salam comes to our heart? So come, let me explain to you what is that injection or heart. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Subhanallah. The Quran Allah Ta'ala announces, apart from one action, you cannot earn the love of Allah and His Rasul in your heart until you don't do the dhikr of Allah kathir, high quantity. That's it. The Quran is full of this influence. Again, I go to Hazrat Arifi Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Sheikh, mashallah, he used to say great things. This whole Quran is completely filled with the mention of the dhikr of Allah. إن المسلمين مسلمون والمؤمنين والمقانتين والقانتات والصائمين والصائمات والصادقين والصادقات. Yes, maybe I've said this in the wrong order, but these are the verses. That is there a bigger message than this? You can be a Muslim man or woman, sadiq, honest, qanitin, hafizin, everything, all the qualities and attributes of iman. That to attain these, if you want to attain these, what do you need to do? وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا كَثِيرًا. Allah says, those dhakirin wa dhakirat, those who do dhikr of Allah more, wa'adda lahum ajrun adheem. Allah Ta'ala says, Allah for those people has given maghfirah ajrun kareem. Allah gives a certificate of acceptance that when you do dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah, all these things you will attain. When you get all these things, when your rule become alive with the dhikr of Allah, you become mu'min, a Muslim, sadiq, everything, all the safat will come inside you. When these safat come inside you, Allah Ta'ala promises to you that when you come to me, I'll give you maghfirah, forgiveness, and with purity and clean, and you will transparent, you will go into Jannah, ajurun kareem. Is there a bigger guarantee you can get than this? If you want to become Muslim, then do dhikr. If you want to be a mu'min, do dhikr. If you want to be sadiqin, do dhikr of Allah. Saim, do dhikr of Allah. Every attribute of a mu'min, to achieve that, to attain that, what do you need to do? Allah Ta'ala says, say loudly, dhikrullah. Subhanallah. Where should we do this? That Allah Ta'ala says, that I will enable you and guide you towards my dhikr. Yes? Do we not do dhikr? This is a big masjid. Not a small masjid. So that you don't feel tired. As many people as want to come, come. Subhanallah. And once, mashallah, Allah filled the masjid up and demonstrated that it filled up the masjid outside, the pavements were full. Now every day can you see these mu'jizas, can you? Somebody called out. Somebody criticized. So look at the tasarruf of my sheikh. This is all the greatness of my sheikh. Until today there's a record. Nobody's achieved that record. Hazrat Abdullah Rahmatullah Alayhi, at that time he was alive, and his phone came to me. Subhanallah. His phone came from there. His son is a witness of this, Ismail, Mulana Ismail Sahib, you can ask him. He phoned me, I was at home, and here people were coming. I didn't know that many people were coming. I came with ease afterwards. I didn't know that so many people had come. There was so much gathering. It was Allah's rahmah came into being. Allah Ta'ala revived his wali. Subhanallah. Ajeeb, beautiful, unique proof here. Alhamdulillah, it was a mu'jiza, karamat of Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh. Otherwise, this doesn't happen all the time. That did people come due to our efforts and our calling people? No, this is karamat of the wali of Allah. Subhanallah, people criticized the wali of Allah. Who is this, etc. He was a great wali of Allah whose fares came. I said, oh, Allah said, okay, fine, I'll show to you, I'll demonstrate. That stop if you can stop. So his phone came to me. I said, first his phone came and said, my son is coming from London and he's coming to your gathering, your majlis, and please accept his coming. Hazrat Abdullah Qapotri Rahmatullah. He was like, I said, huh? It won't be hard for him to see me. Yes, he definitely can come and food will give to him. Because I had a link with him, a relationship with him, and mashallah, he's a good friend of mine. And he used to come here sometimes, he used to meet me when he traveled here. And mashallah, he got ijazah from me and khilafat as well. The people were quite shocked and amazed that why did you give khilafat from him? Did you give him permission, ijazah? He said, what's wrong with that? Yeah, he became student. Subhanallah. Imagine what will be his hal in Jannah now. Alhamdulillah. So, I said, yes, definitely your son can come. He's welcome. He's invited. After 30 minutes, he phoned me back and said that he was shocked. My son, how will he meet you? Where will he see you? I said, what happened? He said, there are too many people. There are oceans of people there. And when I arrived there, he said, there are oceans of people. My son said when he arrived there, what's happening? There's too many people. How is he going to see you? These were his words. Qapotri Rahmatullah, he phoned me from abroad.
And his son is a witness. You can ask him. And me, I was shocked and amazed. I said, there's no big gathering. He said, no, don't you know? I said, I don't know that many people. He said, there's a storm. The roads are full and the pavements are full and the alleyways. Forget about me. He said, where have all these people come from? I said, what's happened here? And I was shocked and surprised myself. And definitely he's right. When I came, I said, what scene is this? So many people. Subhanallah, your glory. You're so supreme. Wala dhikrullahi akbar, Allah says. The people didn't come for me. They don't know me, these people. It's the dhikr of Allah that dragged them. Allah says, you joke and mock my dhikr. To those people, I see how I respond to you then. Such people came, so many people, swarms and seas of people, the majma. Did you see such a gathering before that? The whole Baltan was filled and complete with those people. No part of the pavement or the space was left where there was no man sitting. Allah showed His karamat and His miracle of His wali. After that, not that many people came. You can try your hardest, but not that many people will not come. Never. But those who are blind, whose ruh are dead, they are dead. They don't know what is dhikrullah. Even then they joke and mock. They think it's a game. Dhikrullah. So my brothers, understand the majlis of today. What does it teach us? That make your souls alive. All the amal, we are weak. We don't practice the orders of Allah. And we disobey Allah. And we commit the sins. And we don't do itaba on the sunnah of Rasulullah. And we don't reject sins. The reason for this is this, that our ruh, our soul is sick. And the sick soul can only be cured from one action. And the reason for this is that we are lacking in the love of Allah and Rasulullah. If you want to upgrade that, increase that, intensify that, then do the dhikr of Allah in high quantity. And that's the summary of today's sitting. The person wants to experience the goodness of this, then do it. Why? Because the Quran testifies to this. Al-Mustafa's beautiful statements testify to this. And my Shaykh also spoke like this, subhanAllah. So this Musnad teaching I share with you, I can pick up the Quran in front of you, and you can experience this. InshaAllah, you will laugh and smile and walk into paradise. Then don't leave that path. When you experience it, don't reject dhikr. Keep on moving, keep on traveling, keep on traveling. That apart from this, there's no path. That if you haven't left the dhikr of Allah, subhanAllah, when you do dhikr of Allah, and your love will increase. And when your love increases, then you'll go. But if you leave dhikr, then the love will go down, and the sins will come, and you'll disobey Allah. The more you leave dhikr, the more you'll disobey. If you want to keep the love of Allah and Rasulullah strong, then do dhikr ongoing. This is a normal situation. Normal situation. If you love somebody in the world, for example, then when you have a connection of love with someone, you phone that person. If you don't phone that person, why didn't you phone me? Why didn't you text me? Why didn't you message me? Doesn't that person who's beloved become unhappy with you? For example, you go to India, you don't phone your wife, and you don't text your wife. Why didn't you phone me? What's the reason? I know you're busy, and they argue and they quarrel with you, isn't it? Why didn't you call me? Why didn't you text me? This happens, isn't it? You go to London, and your wife, you don't phone her. Why didn't you phone me? I was waiting for you. So what you realize here is that always the love and the connection, that's the demand of the connection of love, that you need to maintain that. Allah says, say subhanallah. This is normal, natural love that we're talking about in the world. But the nature of a human being is that if you want, for example, your son or daughter travels for studying, they don't phone you. You say, why don't you phone me, my child? I'm your father. The love of the father in the heart is a connection. Because the love, to keep it existent, Allah Ta'ala has put that natural fitratan love relationship that increases. The relationship becomes strong. Say subhanAllah. Yes? So we advise that if you want the love with your Shaykh, then have the connection, the sohbat with your teacher. Don't allow a gap to come. When the gap comes, then shaitan will arrive into that gap, and that's where people lose out. That, for example, 1 day, 2 day gap, 3 days a week. But those people who go to the gathering, then they are continuous in the love. For example, a colleague of mine, subhanAllah, he went to see my Shaykh. After a few days he came, I could see the splashes of love coming, dropping off him, and I was happy. The subhanAllah, he went for a few days, but when he came, he left the gathering, but after a few days when he came back, he was strong in his connection, subhanAllah. So connection is important, because this is the test of love of the student, that he doesn't like to have the gap between him and his teacher. Now I gave you the example of the dunya, wife, kids and relatives, but with the love of Allah and His Rasulullah, will Allah Ta'ala like that? My mu'min doesn't remember me. Allah says, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Allah has allowed no gap. Allah says, me and you, our relationship is such that our love should be so strong that you keep remembering me, Allah says, and I keep remembering you. That's when my love, the love of me and you, will remain intact and strong. Allah says, Allah says, if you take dhikr out of your life, if you take my remembrance out of your life, then mine and your love is finished. Why? Why do you have a gap? Every second, every moment, to this extent.
Al-qiyamu wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim wa yatafakkaruna fi khalqi samawati wal ardh.
Subhanallah, what a great verse. Allah says in this verse, remember me so much, do my dhikr so much, even if you're lying down, remember me, walking, remember me, sitting down, remember me. Allah says, why? No gap should come in your connection with me. وَيَتَّفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And Allah says, beyond that, that when you love me so much and start remembering me so much, Allah says, I'll give you reward after that. And a great reward, a point has come. Shall I share that with you? Subhanallah, a point has come. A point has come. So I'll explain that as I'm going along. وَيَتَّفَكُرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ سَمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The reward Allah Ta'ala gives is such that when my love with you is so strong, Allah says when you do my dhikr so much, you will have an emotion that will continue. وَيَتَّفَكَّرُونَ. Allah says that you will have a deep yearning and love for the hereafter, ongoing, ongoing. Great learning from this verse. So what we realize is that love and fikr akhirah, love and concern of the akhirah are two things together. When a person has love, true love for Allah and Rasulullah, the point is, come and listen to this carefully, subhanAllah. Very beautiful point. Wherever you can test this and challenge this on the scale, your deeds, where there's love for Allah and Rasulullah, true love, then you will have both of these things in your life. Remember this. This. Where there's true love for Allah and Rasulullah in your life, then you will have definitely concern for your hereafter. What's going to happen in hell? What will happen in the grave? What will I be asked in the grave? What will happen in the day of judgment? Will I get to paradise? You'll have this fakir. وَيَتَّفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ سَمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah says, when you remember me, you'll get this tafakkur ongoing, such a great reward. Allah says, I'll give you a great reward now. Shall I tell you that point? Shall I share that? Allah says, وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Allah says, I'll give this reward in the hereafter. Due to this concern you had of the hereafter, that the fikr you had, the concern, distress, the fakr, Allah says, I'll make you clean and pure from everything in the hereafter. No concern, no worry. You understand? Do you like this point? Did you like this point? You'll be free from any concern and grief. So three things. The true sign of the person who has love for Allah and His Rasul. So when a person loves Allah and His Rasul, when he does dhikr, he doesn't do empty dhikr, rather he continues to cry, Allah, save me from the fire of Jahannam. Allah, save me from the fire of the grave. Allah, save me from the punishment thereof. He keeps on doing dhikr and he cries and he keeps on concern. What do we think? The people who run after the dunya, whose ruh, love hai, who are dead, and their body's alive, then they're concerned about the body. What happened to my shop, my business? Let me do dhikr so that my business flourishes. Let me do dhikr so I get more turnover. Let me do dhikr and do dua so I get a son. Let me do dhikr and do dua so I get more dunya. So they do dhikr for the sake of the dunya. Because dunya is their objective. It's become their focal point. Their objective, their ruh, their soul is dead. So they do dhikr just to get more dunya because they have no fikr, no concern. Say subhanAllah. Very beautiful point. Beautiful. May Allah Ta'ala, your glory be with us. So this is the concern a person has ongoing when he does dhikr. With love of Allah and Rasulullah, if you don't have fikr and concern, then you are deceived. You should have concern for the akhirah with the love of Allah and Rasulullah. That's the true love. What a big deception. Those people who think they're ashik Rasul and they have no fikr akhirah. Can a person without beard, will he go to azab? With a person who doesn't pray salah, get punishment? So how can he be an ashik? That's why we go on marches and conferences. We shout out that we're ashiks. We talk wasteful talk. That I'm not criticizing anyone here. I'm not putting anybody down here. I say, mashallah, become the true lovers, but do it now before it's too late. Do it, at least physically implement. At least physically implement those actions correctly. Yes, so the taste of true deen is beyond understanding. Because they'll have the true fikr. When you have the fikr of the akhirah, that will save you from the fire of the hellfire. The greatest destination is the qabr, where the questions will be severe. That's what you'll be prepared for. Has it ever been that you do dhikr and you don't have fikr? No, we have fikr for dunya. That's even after dhikr, when there's dua, we are for dunya. But the dhakir who is true dhakir, that's another hadith, another point's coming, my friends. Another point. He said that those people who dhikr, a person when he does dhikr and he cries and a tear comes from his eyes, that value of that tear so much that it cools the fire of Jahannam. Why? That in that tear there was fikr along with his dhikr. You understand the point now? Listen to my dars again. Repeatedly. So the value of that tear was such, it cools the fire of Jahannam, because he had concern for the akhirah. He wasn't playing games and passing time, he had fikr for the akhirah, crying. He had fikr, Allah, what will happen to me? Allah, my amal are dirty, impure. So he had fikr and concern with his dhikr. okay, we've spoken too much today. Allah, may Allah Ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq to practice on this. Whatever I've said, may Allah accept it. The mistakes I've made in saying and sharing ilmi, knowledge, technical or from my tongue, may Allah, you forgive me, Allah, please forgive me for my mistakes. I've done bedbi or disrespect that's come out of my mouth. Allah, that I tried to make sense of what I was saying, but Allah, forgive me for the errors, because these subjects are severe and I have to share them with you. Because I'm just a simple person. I don't have ilm, I don't have knowledge. With Allah's fadl and karam and blessings that I speak to you, mashallah, you're great people, pious, salihin, righteous, alims and abids and zahids. I am not even the dust on your shoes. I am nothing compared to you, mashallah. And due to your greatness, I speak. If I make a mistake and an error, then please tell me that. And inshallah, I'll get a benefit of knowledge and I will not mind at all. And if you like what I'm saying and you like what I'm saying, then please do dua for me. May Allah Ta'ala give me increase in my knowledge. Ameen. Recite the Rushri.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah alameen. As-salatu wa-salam wa ala sayyidina al-Mursaleen. Shafi'i al-Muslimin. Ataha wa yasin al-Halib al-Aleen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina al-Mu'ala al-Muhammad al-Nabiyyin. Ya Allah, bulaiyum se hamein bichala ya kareem. Ya Allah, apni mohabbat naseeb farma. Ya Allah, apne habib ki mohabbat naseeb farma. Dekh sahla logon ki mohabbat naseeb farma. Ya Allah, apni mohabbat naseeb farma. Ya Allah, un logon ki mohabbat naseeb farma. Jinse tu mohabbat karta hai. Aise amalon ki mohabbat naseeb farma. Jo teri mohabbat ko paida kar de, qareeb kar de, mere maula. Ya Allah, tu apne fazl ka khazana, khair ki bulaiyum ke khazane mein mere maula, hame naseeb farma. Ya Allah, jo tere dast e qudrat mein hai, ya kareem, har buraiyon se musibaton se dur farma. Ya Allah, to apne fazl aur karam se mere maula hamari aaj ki majlis ko qubool farma. Ya Allah, hamare maa baap ki bakhshish farma, hamare rishtedaron ki bakhshish farma, hamare dost ahbab ki bakhshish farma. Ya Allah, jo bimaron ko sehat kamal aazim se farma, jo pareshan haal hain unki pareshani ko dur farma. Ya Allah, jinke kaam bhatke unke kaamon ko pura farma. Ya Allah, hamare gharon mein sukoon naseeb farma. ہماری اولادوں کو نیک فرما. یا اللہ فرماندار بنا. یا اللہ ہمارے مشکلاتوں کو دور فرما. خان کی معاملات کو ہمارے آسانی فرما. یا اللہ ہدایت کے راستے ہم پہ کھول دے اور ہدایت کے راستے ہم پہ آسان فرما. اے میرے مولا, نفس اور شرک کی شیطانوں سے محفوظ فرما. میرے مولا, جو بھی پیغام ہم تک پہنچے میرے مولا, ان کا عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. سنت اور شریعت اور قرآن کے محفوظ راستے پہ چلنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. نیک اور صالحین کے راستے پہ چلنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا اللہ, لاجانی باتوں سے ہمیں محفوظ فرما, برے صحبتوں سے محفوظ فرما, برے دوستوں سے ہمیں صحبت محفوظ فرما. یا اللہ, یا اللہ, ہمیں خرچ کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. اللہ, تیرے راستے میں خرچ کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما, صدقات کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا اللہ, عبادات کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا اللہ, سارے ایسے عمل اور نیک عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما جن سے تو راضی ہوتا ہے میرے مولا. ہر ان عملوں کو دور فرما دے جس سے تو ناراض ہوتا ہے میرے. یا کریم, یا کریم, ان مجالس میں ہمیں بھیج دے. یا اللہ, ان مجالس کو تو پسند محبوب فرماتا ہے. اے میرے مولا, اپنے حبیب کے صدقے سے فضل سے میرے مولا ہماری آج کی تمام دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. جو ذکر کی صورت میں مانگی, یا اللہ, جو دعاؤں کی صورت میں مانگی, یا اللہ, جو دلوں سے مانگی, جو خاموشی سے مانگی, یا اللہ, جو نہ مانگ سکیں ان حاجاتوں کو تو جانتا ہے میرے مولا, ان کو بھی پورا فرما دے. ہمارے گھروں میں جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا نصیب فرما. یا اللہ, ہمارے جاننے والوں میں جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا نصیب فرما. ہمارے حلقے میں جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا نصیب فرما. اے میرے مولا, اپنے فضل کرم سے, محض اپنے حبیب کے صدقے سے میرے مولا تو ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ, نور عرش و زینت فرشہ, وعلیہ صحبہ اجمعین, برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.